Topi cana vallapa
Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupad ki jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribraja Kacharya Ashto Tarasita Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupad ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivin Ki Jai. Sri Siddhanta Krishna Go Gopinath Sham Kundrata Kungiri Gurtan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. Navadip Tham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Ganga Mai ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Both praying on day. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 27. Yada
Deveshu
Vedeshu
Koshu
Vipreshu
Sadhushu
Dharme
Mayi
Cha Vidveshaha Sabha
Ashu
Vinashyati
Yada
Deveshu
Vedeshu
Goshu Vipreshu Sadhushu Dharme Mayi Cha Vidvesha Sabha Ashu Vinashyati
Yada
Deveshu Vedeshu Koshu Vipreshu Sadhushu Dharme Mayi Cha Vidvesha Sava Ashu Vinashyati Yada Deveshu Vedeshu Goshu Vipreshu Sadhushu Dharme Mayi Cha Vidvesha Sava Ashu Vinashyati Yada Deveshu Vedeshu Goshu Vipreshu Sadhushu Dharme Mayi Cha Vidvesha Sava Ashu Vinashyati Yada Deveshu Vedeshu Goshu Vipreshu Sadhushu Dharme Mayi Cha Vidvesha Sava Ashu Vinashyati. Ladies. Yada Deveshu Vedeshu Goshu Vipreshu Sadhushu Dharme Mayi Cha Vidvesha Sava Ashu Vinashyati. Yada Deveshu Vedeshu Koshu Vipreshu Sadhushu Dharme Mayi Cha Vidvesha Sava Ashu Vinashyati Yada Deveshu Vedeshu Koshu Vipreshu Sadhushu Dharme Mayi Cha Vidvesha Sava Ashu Vinashyati Yada
When
Deveshu unto the demigods.
Vedeshu,
unto the Vedas.
Unto the Vedas.
Unto the Vedic scriptures.
Unto the Vedic scriptures.
Goshu,
unto the cows.
Vibreshu,
unto the Brahmins.
Satushu,
unto the saintly persons.
Dharme,
unto religious principles.
Mai,
unto me.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Cha,
and Vidveshaha,
envious.
Saha,
such a person.
Vai,
indeed.
Ashu,
very soon.
Vinashati,
is vanquished.
When one is envious of the demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the Vedas, which give all knowledge, of the cows, Brahmins, Vaishnavas, and religious principles, and ultimately of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay.
Nirvairaya Prashantaya Svasutaya Mahatmane Paradaya Yadadruyet Dhanishyepi Balurjitam.
When Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemy, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. Purport. Of all sinful activities, an offense to a pure devotee or Vaishnava is the most severe. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is so disastrous that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has compared it to a mad elephant that enters a garden and causes great havoc by uprooting many plants and trees. If one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Brahmin or Vaishnava, his offenses uproot all his auspicious activities. One should therefore very carefully guard against committing Vaishnavaparad, an offense or offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Here the Lord clearly says that although Hiranyakashipu had received benedictions from Lord Brahma, these benedictions would be null and void as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, his own son. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is described herein as Nirvaira, having no enemies. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana. A devotee has no enemies. He is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. A devotee does not create enmity with anyone, but if someone becomes his enemy, that person will be vanquished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite whatever benedictions he may have received from other sources. Hiranyakashipu was certainly enjoying the fruitful results of his austerities. But here the Lord says that as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, he would be ruined. One's longevity, opulence, beauty, education, and whatever else one may possess as a result of pious activities cannot protect one if one commits an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Despite whatever one possesses, if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he will be vanquished.
Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya
Shakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sadivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Manamami Hori Pure Vansha Kopitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayeva Cha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnadebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yada Deveshu Vedeshu Goshu Vipreshu Sadhushu Dharme Mai Sa Vidvesha Sava Ashu Vinashiti Nirvairaya Prashantaya Svasutaya Mahatmane Praradaya Yada Druye Dhanishye Pi Virovida Virovida If one is envious of these Vaishnavas, the Brahmins, the cows, Srila Prabhupada appears to use this word envious in an older sense. We usually think of envious as the mentality that one has when somebody else has something we want. That may be sometimes applicable. But there's an older sense of envy, which is simply hatred. To envy is to hate, to be antagonistic, to be hateful towards someone. And Srila Prabhupada often seems to use envy in that sense, to be antagonistic, to be opposed. Deveshu, Vedeshu, Goshu, Vipreshu, Sadhushu, Dharme, Mayi. Mayi, to be hateful toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the original envy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sarge Yanti Paranta. Vanva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammoha Sarga Yanta Yanti Prantapa. What is that? Ichcha Dvesha, thank you. Ichcha Dvesha. Then?
Samudena.
Samuttena, Vichchatvesha Samuttena Dvandvamoheena Bharata. Yes. The whole world is bewildered by these things, this duality that comes from Ichcha and Dvesha. I like this, I don't like that. Ichcha, I want this, and Dvesha, I hate that. Ichcha, Dvesha, Samuttena, Dvandvamoheena. This is coming from the dualities that come from illusion. Sarvabhutani, some moha. Everyone is bewildered by this illusion, this duality of ichcha and dvesha. Sarge yati parantapa. Then this is the cause of repeated birth and death in material existence. Oh, this ichcha finally means I want to enjoy for myself, and dvesha, I'm resentful of the notion that Krishna should be the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller. There's so many demons. They're envious of Krishna. Why should Krishna enjoy? Why shouldn't I enjoy? Who is that Dvivida gorilla? Simply insulting Krishna. And yes, there's so many. There's a kind of envy in the modern sense also. That why not me? Why him? We resent it. That why can't I enjoy? Why can't I enjoy? Why should Krishna be the one to enjoy? Why should I have to be a servant? Why can't I be master? So there's envy in that modern sense also. Envy, resentment, and finally hatred. So that's there at the root of everything. But those who have demonic qualities, they're completely out of hand. Their disease is beyond beyond. They're demonic, grossly infected by the modes of passion and ignorance. A person who's maybe infected, the whole world is materially infected, but those who are grossly infected by the lower modes of nature become envious to hateful toward the innocent living beings, or to be hateful toward some nasty person, some. But here, Deveshu, to the demigods, who are supplying the necessities of all living beings, and who are the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Deveshu, to become hateful toward them. And Vedeshu, resentful toward Scripture. We find there are people, Scripture! And they're out on a campaign to bash Scripture, to show how Scripture is stupid, how only fools follow Scripture, how Scriptures are just the human concoctions of foolish people, or of misogynists, or of Brahmins, or one way or another they want to. Scripture is keeping us down. Scripture has held human society back. Scripture is a batch of superstitions. Because Scripture is meant to regulate human society for spiritual advancement. And they don't like it. They don't like the regulations. They don't like spiritual advancement. They want material advancement, no holds barred, no restrictions. So they're Scripture, or these demons who want to pose as God, get rid of Scripture because Scripture makes it clear that I'm not God. Vedeshu, and Goshu. Hateful toward the cows. Cows are the most innocent and useful of creatures. Cows cause no one harm. All they eat is grass. And they give milk, which is so valuable for human society. But the demons are so vicious that they become hateful to the cows and want to kill them. Goshu. And Vipreshu, the Brahmanas, those who are the instructors of human society, the guides, spiritual guides of human society, the intellectuals. We find sometimes some regime takes over and their first job is to kill all the intellectuals. I think Uganda, they did that. I was hearing whoever took over most recently. First thing was to go on a campaign against the intellectuals because they're dangerous. Anyone who thinks could be dangerous for me. And we want power, we want control, we want to enjoy it and exploit the resources of the state. So intellectuals are a threat. So hateful to the intellectuals or to the spiritually advanced people, people who have higher principles. Sadhushu, the saintly persons. Saintly persons. With hateful toward them. Dharma, resentful of religious principles generally. How to get rid of them, how to overturn them, because they obstruct our goals. We want to open a casino and these sentimental religious ideas are getting in our way. We want to have zero population growth. So we want to, and what stands in our way, these religious principles about birth control and abortion, so we have to overturn those. So many. So vidvesha. So such persons, vinashati, they'll be finished. When? Ashu. Soon. What constitutes soon may differ. Hiranyakashipu, they would have liked him finished immediately. And Krishna said, soon. He'll be finished soon enough, don't worry. When is that? Parada yada druyet. When he becomes violent toward his son, Prahlad Maharaj. Then, hanishye, I'll kill him. Hanishyepi varojitam. In spite of the powerful benedictions of Lord Brahma, I'll finish him. It doesn't matter what benedictions you have. Prabhupada makes this point. We may have wealth, we may have power, we may have fame, we may have education, we may have good looks, we may have smarts, we may be very intelligent, we may have degrees, we may have powerful friends, influence. We may have pious activities in our background. We may have some spiritual advancement. Whatever we have, if we offend the Lord, the principles of Dharma, the sadhus, the cows, the demigods, then very quickly, finished. Especially Vaishnava Parat. The offenses to Prabhupada says pure devotees. We sometimes think pure devotee means Mahabhagavat, the most advanced devotee. But Srila Prabhupada makes clear in several places of his in his books, even a neophyte can be a pure devotee. Even a beginner. Pure devotee means, in that case, that he's sincerely following the process. He may not be mature in the process of spiritual advancement, but he's pure. He's simple, trying to serve Krishna. He's counted as a pure devotee, just as a unripe mango is also counted as a mango, even though it's not juicy and ripe. So even a neophyte Vaishnava may be counted as a pure devotee. We think, well, he's not a spiritual master, he's not a sannyasi, he's not a senior devotee, he's not a big devotee. But it doesn't matter. Simple solution, wasn't it? One should be careful not to offend Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has compared Vaishnava aparad, offenses committed to committing of offenses to Vaishnavas, to a mad elephant. There's an extended analogy in which devotional service is planted as a seed in the heart of the devotee by the grace of Krishna and the spiritual master, and one waters that seed by hearing and chanting, and the seed grows up into a nice climbing plant, and it's climbing and it's climbing, moving higher and higher towards the Goloka Vrindavan and the lotus feet of Krishna. And one is pulling up the weeds which could possibly choke the plant. And one is continuing to pour the water of hearing and chanting. The plant is growing and growing. But if a mad elephant comes into the garden, just imagine we have a little garden here and some little papaya tree is over in the corner, and there's a champak tree over here, and other trees and plants. But imagine if an elephant, and particularly a mad elephant, were to come in. And I used to live in Alachua in Florida, and we had a little garden around our Bhakti Godhead house. But sometimes the cows would get out, and if a cow got out, he could just sort of brush up against one of the trees, and that would be a tree about this tall. But if the cow just sort of gave it his shoulder, that would be it. The tree would be damaged or knocked over, trampled. And that's a cow, a peaceful, a little heavy, but peaceful cow. Then you imagine an elephant. Elephants are tremendously powerful. Just the trunk of an elephant is so powerful, it has muscles like you couldn't believe. If an elephant grabs you, you're like a little twig and you can just toss you. Elephants are so powerful. And that's just the trunk. Then there's four legs and a big body. And now you imagine the whole apparatus, the whole creature, mad. Mad and swinging his trunk this way and that way, moving his head this way and that way, bashing his body like a mad person. You know how mad people sort of bounce around and throw themselves around and beat their hands and so on. Madman. And that can be powerful too. A madman, like sometimes takes like four people to tackle. They get somehow, when they're crazy, when the person who's crazy is just, all his strength is going into banging the walls or whatever he's doing. And that's just a person. Now imagine an elephant in that state of agitation, that state of madness. The elephant comes into your garden, your nice little carefully tended garden, and the elephant comes with his trunk and his body and his stomping legs. It means everything is finished. Totally finished. That elephant. So the offense to the Vaishnav is compared by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to a mad elephant. That means he's warning us very strongly not to commit offenses to devotees of the Lord. If we value our spiritual advancement, if what to speak of spiritual advancement, there's a verse in third canto, I think, that all of these will be finished. One's longevity, you shorten your lifetime, your opulence, your beauty, your education, your everything can all be wiped out by offense to the devotee. Even Krishna may not help us. It's so strong. And we think that we can get away with it. We're careless. Or we're self-righteous. We think that we can discipline an advanced devotee. We think that we can go to war against devotees and there'll be no reaction. This is not consistent with the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned us that one can quickly ruin oneself by offenses to devotees. I have some collected statements about this. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj once said that in Kali Yuga the Guru knows everything because he has it on his hard disk. Yadi Vaishnava Parad Uti Hati Mata Upadeva Chinditar Shuki Raipata. That's what we just heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mad elephant. Srila Prabhupada gives an example in the third canto again. One may tolerate the hot sand on one's head, but not the hot sand beneath one's feet. So the Lord may tolerate an offense to himself, but it's very difficult for him to tolerate offenses committed to the devotees at his lotus feet. Bhakta svabhav agyadosh kshama kore Krishna svabhav bhakta ninda sahite napari. The nature of a pure devotee is that he excuses any offenses committed by an ignorant person. But Krishna's nature is that he can't tolerate bhakta ninda, criticism of his devotees. Therefore, satam ninda namna paramam aparadham vitanute yata kyatim yatam katam usate tad gar. In the list of 10 offenses, what's the first one?
Blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagation.
Yes. Satam ninda. That's to blaspheme the sadhus, the devotees, to criticize them, to offend them, is paramam aparadham, the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada said, one should not criticize a preacher of the glories of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If one does so, he is an offender. The Nam Prabhu, the holy name of Krishna, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even from one who passes as a great devotee. Can't rely on our advancement. Well, I'm an advanced devotee. I can. That's foolishness to think I'm an advanced devotee, so I can criticize the Vaishnavas. We've seen very advanced devotees go down by sadhu ninda. These are not idle statements. Sersham maha purusha padapam shupir nirasta tejasu tadeva shobana. This is a statement by Sati to her father, Daksha, when Daksha blasted Lord Shiva. He's my son-in-law. He hasn't shown me proper respect. What kind of person is he? So he went on bad-mouthing Lord Shiva. So Sati told him that those who envy exalted persons are diminished by the dust of their lotus feet. Generally, we want to get the dust of the feet of pure devotees because we think that that dust will help us. But the dust of the feet of the pure devotee diminishes the offenders, destroys the offenders. As we see in the case of Daksha, he lost his head, lost his life by an offense at a pure devotee to a pure devotee. In, again, fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada says, if one commits Vaishnava aparadhas, all of his progress in devotional service will be checked. All of it. Even though one is very much advanced in devotional service, if he commits offenses at the feet of a Vaishnava, his advancement is all spoiled. Even the advanced devotee, sometimes we ask, we see an advanced devotee falls down. We say, how could such an advanced devotee fall down? And this is one way that even an advanced devotee can fall down. If he commits an offense at the feet of Vaishnavas, if he offends the Vaishnavas, if he offends a Vaishnava, he can lose everything. All that accumulated credit finished. Same thing. Man elephant enters the garden, it's all over. When a mad elephant enters a garden, a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden. Similarly, if one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is halted. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. In the Harinam Chintamani, there's some detailed discussion of what constitutes offense. An offender against a sadhu is one who criticizes a Vaishnava about his caste, his position in society, his family, his birth. Criticizes a Vaishnava about his caste, some unpremeditated accidental fall down. Vaishnava makes a mistake, has some fall down, and we criticize him. The last traces of his previous sins, or his sinful activities prior to surrendering to Lord Krishna. He used to be, did you know what he... This offender will never develop a taste for chanting the holy name. One who has taken complete shelter of the pure devotional process is considered a pure Vaishnava. One who's taken shelter of the process is a pure Vaishnava. The four above mentioned faults may be present in him. Pure Vaishnava doesn't mean that none of these things will be there. A pure Vaishnava may have the four above mentioned faults, but he's totally free from all the other shortcomings. So criticizing him spells doom for the offender. The glories of the holy name are spread by the Vaishnava. Lord Krishna does not tolerate any criticism against him. In the Nectar of Devotion, there's a discussion of different kinds of attachment. There's direct attachment and shadow attachment, the kind of attachment that you get by association, sort of reflective attachment. As attachment can be invoked by the association of pure devotees, attachment can also be extinguished by offenses committed at the lotus feet of pure devotees. To be more clear, by the association of pure devotees, attachment for Krishna can be aroused. But if one commits offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee, one's shadow attachment or para, superior attachment, can be extinguished. This extinguishing is like the waning of the full moon, which gradually decreases and at last becomes dark. There's Pratipadam Purnamrita Svadhanam, the waxing of the moon of benedictions that till it becomes the full moon of chanting Hare Krishna. But this is the waning moon that gradually decreases and finally becomes dark. One should therefore be very careful while associating with pure devotees to guard against committing an offense at their lotus feet. Transcendental attachment, either shadow or para, can be nullified by different degrees of offenses. If the offense is very serious, then one's attachment becomes almost nil. And if the offense is not very serious, one's attachment can become second class or third class. This is the warning. In the sixth canto, a pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. Otherwise, if one tends to criticize others, he may commit the great offense of criticizing a Vaishnava. The tendency to criticize it, what is that? Shushushaya bhajana vigya ananya manya nindari shunya vilalipsita sangalabdhya. If we have the tendency to criticize others, we can get loose with it. You know, we criticize this one, we criticize that one, we criticize this, that, this, that, everyone. And then, because it's now a habit with us to criticize, then we criticize the Vaishnavas also. Yeah, everything's critical. We criticize the neophyte Vaishnavas, we criticize the more advanced Vaishnavas, we criticize the very advanced Vaishnavas. Pretty soon we're just critics. Like, who was that? Ramchandra Puri. He was the godbrother of Madhavendra Puri, but he became a critic. And so he even became a critic of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the Vaishnavas, when he left Puri, everyone was so glad because he was just a fault finder. That was his punishment, that he his pleasure, instead of taking pleasure in chanting the holy name, pleasure in chanting Hare Krishna, pleasure in devotional service, his pleasure was in criticizing. Because when we criticize, we can feel superior. You're stupid. That means I'm smart. You don't know how to play the instruments. That means I'm an expert musician. And look at how you dress the deities. That means I would do it better. So by criticizing, putting others down, we said the expression is put someone down. Put someone down, we feel like we're going up. So that danger is very great, that we put down the Vaishnavas. And then actually we're putting out our spiritual life. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami never cared to hear blasphemy of a Vaishnava, even when there were points to be criticized. He used to say that since all the Vaishnavas were engaged in the service of the Lord, he didn't mind the faults. Of course, the worst form of Vaishnava aparad is offense toward the spiritual master. Then you commit a double aparad. Guru avagya, ignoring the spiritual master, and sadhu ninda, blaspheming a great devotee. The worst is offense to the spiritual master. But you don't have to be the worst. Just to blaspheme a Vaishnava is sufficient on its own to ruin one's spiritual progress. We should be very careful. Okay. Some questions?
Maharaj, when we cross the threshold of sentimentality, because we are engaged with each other, and sometimes, you know, devotees will make a critical point without necessarily trying to deprecate that person or destroy them. The difference between critical analysis and actual criticism.
We should be careful about critical analysis. You know, I'm not being, even Daksha said, you know, I'm not being unfair or injudicious here. I'm just telling it like it is. We should be careful. We should be careful about criticizing the Vaishnavas. We get, you know, all the, when we criticize someone, it's certainly justified. It must be justified or we wouldn't be doing it. I mean, he does this or he does that or he is this or he is that or I heard this or I saw that. So we find faults with the Vaishnavas. And we think, well, I'm just telling things the way they are. I'm just letting devotees know. I'm just making sure no one's fooled. I'm just making sure that I'm just calling spade a spade. I'm just, and the result is finished. Of course, someone's duty may be to criticize, like the spiritual master. It's his duty to criticize the disciples. That he can do. The spiritual master. Sometimes the person in authority has to criticize the person he's instructing. But we should be careful. And especially if it's not our duty. Everybody takes it as his duty. You know, we're all the guardians of truth, justice, and so on. But we should be careful. Who appointed us to be the news agency for the shortcomings of the Vaishnavas? We should be very careful. Yes?
Is there a proper way of dealing with each other's shortcomings?
Excuse me?
What is the proper way?
Proper way? One proper way is ignore it. Everybody has shortcomings. Everybody has shortcomings. Someone doesn't speak nicely. Someone doesn't this. Someone that. Everybody's got shortcomings. The whole material world, there's no perfect person. who doesn't have shortcomings? So one way of dealing with people's shortcomings is overlook them. Even in terms of ordinary human dealings, if you're always finding fault with your friends, you may find that your friends are in short supply. People respond to encouragement, and they don't always respond so nicely to criticism. Again, sometimes it's our duty. The teacher, the person in authority may have to point out that something's not being done properly. But we should be careful about that. And that also should be done for the benefit of the person, not for my own egotistical satisfaction. If there's something actually... So one thing you can do with shortcomings is just ignore them. They're either not important or they'll go away. The person makes advancement and that shortcoming disappears. Or it doesn't really matter very much anyway. Or if you look at the good, in Nisringa Puran it's mentioned that the good qualities of the Vaishnava are like the rays of the moon. And what kind of person is it that instead of appreciating the rays of the moon starts criticizing the moon for having spots? So poets are glorifying the moon and it's got spots on it. So to criticize the Vaishnavas who have such great qualities, what's their greatest quality? They've dedicated their lives to Krishna. That's better than studying the Vedas. That's better than a PhD from any university. That's better than being a great moralist or philanthropist. It's better than being very pious. It's better than being austere. Better than being charitable. Better than being anything is to surrender to Krishna. So if we start finding shortcomings of those who surrender to Krishna, we may place our own spiritual life in peril. So one way of dealing with shortcomings is ignore them. Otherwise, if it's some practical thing, person isn't doing the right thing, needs to be corrected either for the sake of the work or for the benefit of the person, then of course there are nice ways to tell people. You know, people would usually we do it this way, it would be better to do it this way, you might try doing it this way. So many such and such does it this way. There are different ways of recommending a better path of action than saying that's a stupid way to do it. There are alternatives, so that a person gets the message without getting offended. Sometimes, if it's a very serious matter and the person may be in a senior position, a respectable position, then sometimes we may approach that person very humbly. Say this, what to do about this. Or we may approach that person's peer and express concern, what to do. Maybe you can speak to him, because I can't say anything, I'm a little guy, but you're on his level, you can say something. If something is very serious, then we may do that. Okay? How do you deal with disagreements before it reaches critical mass? Well, there are different things you can do about disagreements. But one, again, is ignore them. Okay, we disagree. You know, everybody disagrees with everybody else, at least some of the time. We can't all expect to agree about everything. I might be disagreeing. Not very important. Not that we have to agree about everything, not that unless you see things my way, something must be wrong with you. We have to go to war about it. So one thing you can do with disagreements is not take them very seriously. Even in family affairs and in marital affairs, there are disagreements all the time. So I hear. And one strategy for dealing with them is just not take them very seriously. Chanakya Pandit says that when there's quarrels between husband and wife, it should be taken like thunder in the morning. Thunder in the morning means it's not going to rain. So not take it very seriously. So husband and wife, or anyone in human dealings, not that we have to line up and with our weapons over every disagreement, and just let it slide. It's a good policy for disagreements, is to let them slide. And then if the disagreement is serious, or a disagreement about something that matters, there are civilized ways of disagreeing. It's not that because you disagree with me, there's something wrong with you, or you should be driven out, beaten, tortured, killed, bad-mouthed. And we disagree. And maybe we disagree strongly. We disagree about something important. All right, we're allowed to disagree. In the spiritual world, even, there are disagreements. That's also there. So in the association of devotees, there may be disagreements, but it doesn't mean that we disrespect the devotees. We can respectfully disagree. We respectfully disagree. Then it's the subject matter that we disagree with, it's not the person. It's not that the person is bad because we disagree with him. It's the issue, not the person. If we observe that distinction is important to make. Not that because someone holds a different view from mine, the person must be evil or in darkness or whatever. People disagree. Try to be respectful. We should be very careful to be respectful. For the sake of some disagreement, to lose my spiritual life. Yeah. Win the argument and lose your Krishna consciousness.
After the offense has been committed to the Vaishnava, what is the reconciliation process?
What to do if you've committed an offense to Vaishnava? First thing is to regret it. If we think, I showed him. First thing is to regret it. I've criticized a Vaishnava. Even if I think my point was right, now I've offended a Vaishnava. We should be very... We should be regretful. We should be afraid. Parikshit Maharaj, he offended Shamik Rishi. Then he thought, something's going to happen to me. It has to happen. We should be... we should realize what we've done. We've offended a devotee of Krishna. Then we should be very keen to correct that. And to do that, one should approach the devotee and beg forgiveness for one's offense. Even Krishna did. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one Gopal Chapal offended Srivas Thakur. He was envious because the kirtan was going on in Srivas Thakur's house every night, and he couldn't get in. So he was bitter, sour. So he thought, okay, I'll show him. And he made up like a little RT tray of stuff used for worshipping Durga and left it outside Srivas Thakur's house, as if to make out that Srivas Thakur was actually secretly worshipping Durga. So then in the morning, seeing that Srivas Thakur just called all the Vaishnavas together and said, see, I'm secretly worshipping Durga. And Vaishnavas were appalled. But this Gopal Chappal got leprosy. He became a leper. And he had to live, you know, off somewhere away from normal people who didn't want to be infected. And one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came by, and Gopal Chappal said, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen souls, please, I've fallen into this abominable condition, please save me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go to hell. I won't save you. You've offended Srivas Thakur. There's nothing I can do for you. Then he later advised him that you have to seek forgiveness of Srivas Thakur then. So he did that. Then he was excused. Can't think that I'll just offend Vaishnavas and I'll chant Hare Krishna and that will sort of paper it over. That's committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting. You can compound the offense. No, it's okay, I'm chanting Hare Krishna so I can do this. Something else? Yes? Even unconsciously, that's not good.
So then how do you, like, if you don't know who you offend, if you just lost taste because it's in your spiritual life and you realize it must be because of some things that you face now?
And we try to see, look within ourselves, what have I done, who have I offended? Try to, you know, do a review and see, have I offended someone? Otherwise, what can we do? We take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. Try to rectify our hearts. Something else? Yes?
Maharaj, with regard to her question, there was the instance where she was an Ananda Swami, was in meditation, looking at some lila, and the crippled sadhu came and he laughed, and the vision went awry, so he went to Rupa Goswami, he was going to give a party, invite everyone, and the person who doesn't come, you go and beg forgiveness from them. So was also on a very high level and unconscious of it. You know?
Yeah. Even at that level.
What about perceived offense? You know, someone may perceive that I've offended them, but I haven't really offended them because maybe they're a little more sentimental than me or something else. You know?
Well, we try to work it out. We should try to keep good relations with the devotees. Just like your friends. You know, you somehow your friend feels offended by something you did. You didn't mean to offend him. And what do? You try to make up. So, with the Vaishnavas, we should try to, even if it's due to some misunderstanding. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Shuni Chaitanya, one should be humbler than the grass. Humbler than the grass. The grass doesn't. Hey, why are you walking on me? Who do you think you are? Huh? Didn't you see the sign? Keep off the grass. Stupid. Yeah, you can walk all over the grass. The grass never says anything. I'm grass, naturally everyone walks on me. That's just the way it is. One should be more humble than the grass. Not that, listen, I'm right, I know what I'm doing. Should try to, in a very humble mood, solicit the best wishes of the Vaishnavas.
Considering the example of Damodar Pandit, whose impudence Mahaprabhu mused about, and said, you know, I can use this impudence, and then he sent him to go take care of Mother Sachi.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a punishment? Was it a reflection? Because externally, Damodar Pandit committed the offense of criticizing the Lord.
Well, this was, of course, Lord Chaitanya's pastime. This Damodar Pandit was a very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. So even if you criticize Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take it as an expression of love. Just like sometimes the wife criticizes the husband, but it's taken as an expression of love. Or the husband criticizes the wife, it's taken as an expression of love. So the even these are sort of tasty dealings in householder life. The wife insults the husband, and the husband insults the wife as a kind of a pastime. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed the pastimes with Damodar Pandit. But we should be very careful. Unless we're Damodar Pandit, we should be very careful about criticizing. Yes, he sent him to Sachi Mata, that you have a, you're so scrupulous about everybody minding their P's and Q's, so we can employ that somewhere. Yes. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blasted him also. You're instructing Sanatana Goswami about what's the right way to behave. You're just a boy. And compared to Sanatana Goswami, what are you? You're just a kid. What right do you have? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes instructed him also, corrected him.
An impudent person discovering Srila Prabhupada's books and reading some of the statements he made about his god brothers may assume that he was critical and may use that as a leverage to say, well, Srila Prabhupada did this, how to deal with that?
Yeah, you spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and then you criticize like Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to criticize your grandfathers, or why, you really want to take a risk, criticize his grandfathers. First you become like Prabhupada and spread the holy name of Krishna all over the world. Then you criticize. Prabhupada had the right. He was the person who received the power to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He had the right to criticize. What have we done? I opened a temple somewhere. I opened 10 temples.
If I may broach a little contentious subject matter, with His Holiness Narayan Maharaj, you were traveling around the whole polemic, people have difficulty dealing and understanding this. Could you clarify a little bit the position there?
Yeah, people may have dealings with senior Vaishnavas. They should be careful. We may take steps to perform our managerial duties, but while doing so we should be very careful. There are ways to protect your property or protect your interests or look out after the interests of the society, while at the same time taking into account someone's respectful position. That's called civilized. Otherwise, that was there in the verse, that if someone's envious or hateful toward a Vaishnava, he and his civilization are ruined very soon. that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. For one person's offense, a whole village can be wiped out, a whole community can be wiped out. These are not idle statements. So if we care about, you know, we're trying to protect our temple or our zone or our society, while doing so, we don't want to act in such a way that our temple or our zone or our society will be wiped out by the results of Vaishnava operations. So a civilized person is very careful about that. Imagine if you had a problem with, say, the government or a very big political official. You would perhaps do things to protect your interests, but you'd be very careful about, you know, taking out a newspaper ad and saying, you know, the governor is a so-and-so, the chief of police, especially imagine, you know, these powerful states where they sometimes don't really care about all the details about what's legal and what's not. And you take out a newspaper ad and start to criticize the dictator or the chief of police or some big official. The next thing you know, you've disappeared. So, under such circumstances, still you would act to protect your property or your interests or whatever, but you might think 10 times before you criticized that person in a position of power. You wouldn't want to be stupid. So the Vaishnavas are in a position of power, not because they walk around with weapons or because they're looking to smite people, but because Krishna is behind them. Krishna's looking out, and Krishna's saying, this person, he offended my devotee. And Krishna never told me. Same thing. You know, you might not criticize the governor, but you think you can criticize his wife. Government, well, same thing, you disappear one day and that's the end of it. You think you can tease his son, same thing, you disappear one day, that's all. You know, maybe the son or the wife didn't take any offense, but the man himself looked and said, who's this guy I think he is? And that's it. You're in prison for the next 10 years, or you've disappeared, or lost your job. You should be careful.
Mm-hmm. Can not keeping promises that we make to Vaishnavas be considered an offense also?
Can breaking promises to Vaishnavas be considered an offense? Sure. You promise me something, or I promise you something, and then I don't deliver. I may be offended. Yeah. Don't make promises you don't intend to keep. We make promise to the spiritual master, it's an offense to break the promise. Careful about the promises you make. Ordinary people, we promise them things, we shine them on. Somehow or other, yes, 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 yes. And, you know, people don't like it, all that stuff, beans. But if you do that with Vaishnavas, be careful. And you may become offended. This person is just leading me on. Be very careful. Anything else?
But if you know of this, you know, if a novice has to listen to us, spiritual life is like a razor's edge.
It is.
Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, etc. You might I'm never going to be able to accomplish this and follow all of this. How to find a way to settle a means within them that, you know, you actually can succeed.
Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, or Kaviraj Goswami says, make a necklace of this verse and keep it on around your neck all the time.
This particular one?
Trinadapi Shinichana, Tarodapi Sihishana, Amanina, Amanina. Not expecting honor for ourselves, but being ready to honor everyone else. Tarodapi Sihishana, being tolerant, like the tree. Okay, so people carve their letters on the tree, they take the branches, they take the fruits, they sit on it, they hit it. They do so many things to trees. The tree never protests. The tree just tolerates. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, tolerant like the tree, humble like the grass, ready to give respect to everyone, not expecting respect for yourself. And that mood, one can go on chanting Hare Krishna always. If we have that mood, then naturally we won't commit offenses. The person who's proud like a peacock, intolerant, demanding respect for himself and to hell with everyone, he'll naturally commit offenses. But the person who's humble, the person who's tolerant, the person who's respectful to everyone else, this person who doesn't, he'll naturally be inoffensive. Yes.
Maharaj read the definition of an offense.
Excuse me?
Maharaj read a verse that defines offensiveness, saying that if we offend somebody for the caste, previous. Could Maharaj just read that again?
No, we have to start up again to read that. No problem. Harinam Chintamani, fourth chapter. Criticizes a Vaishnava about his caste, about some unpremeditated accidental fall down, about the last traces of his previous sins, or about his sinful activities before he surrendered.
And then one question, in this life we may be experiencing the karma for an offense that we might have committed in a previous life. And we may never see that person in such a situation, because the only cure for that offense is to actually apologize.
Therefore one has to take shelter of the Holy Name of Krishna in this humble state of mind. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.